Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
That system is called, according to the scriptures, their own righteousness. And so when you take that and apply that to all civilizations, and go back and apply it to the Greek the Greek, Plato, Aristotle, all those guys, their four principles of virtue were all an attempt to establish their own righteousness. And this system, like I said last time, just in passing, but this same system is in place today. People don't want God's way of salvation. People want to, as they say, discover their own routes to salvation or their own ways to God. But how many of you know that's not possible? Because how can you get to a destination that you don't even know where it is? How can you devise a map for a destination you're ignorant of? And that's what it is with God. You cannot, your ways cannot equal or come up to his ways. But we try and come up with ways that sound good. And like I said, to be prudent, to be courageous, to be temperate, to be just, those are good things, but they don't deal with the sin, the core of the problem, which is sin. And so we said that wisdom doesn't come from just knowledge. A lot of people, especially, I remember when I was in school, I think even on the Cosby Show, they were trying to define wisdom on one show, and they were trying to define it as knowledge. But wisdom is not knowledge. If that were the case, everybody who knew something would be wise. But we know that many knowledgeable people are what? Not very wise. So it takes more than just knowledge to become wise. And what did we say it started with last week? What was the first key to open the door? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the acknowledgement of the fact that you need God. That's where it all begins. And then from there, he has to reveal to you the next step. That's when wisdom is not only gained, but also acquired and then applied. So we mentioned that the definition of wisdom was, according to the World's Dictionary, the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise, the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the body of knowledge and principles that develops within a specified society or period. All those things are good, but they're not exactly what the scriptures call wisdom. Wisdom, as Proverbs 9:10 says, starts with the fear of the Lord. And I also made reference to this passage, and I didn't have it, so I brought it this time. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:20. So first we see a society or a world that just wants to know God, but they want to do it on their terms. That's always people's problem. They always want things on their terms. I mean, even when we were sinners, we would say stuff like, God, if you would just get me out of this situation, I'll go to church, or I'll do something, you know, I'll give money to the poor. Or they're always some kind of a bargain on your terms. And we never thought to say that maybe God is saying no. Now, when you say, Lord, I'll serve you. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, though, that's how they began to serve. That's how Jacob began to serve God, on his terms. Jacob was not a good guy in the beginning. Jacob was always out to get something, and mostly from his dumb brother Esau. Because Jacob must have realized, man, I think I can run a game on Esau every day of the week. And every time he wanted something, he tricked Esau. And then when he wanted the big blessing, he and his mother got together and tricked his father. But when Esau finally got enough of it and said, all right, he thinks he got me now. Just wait until Dad dies. We're going to see who's going to get the last word here. And so his mother said, uh-oh, got to get Jacob out of town because Esau is upset. So he got out of town, and then Jacob goes to Bethel, and he sleeps on a rock, and that's where we get the phrase Jacob's ladder. You guys remember that? He sees in a dream or a vision the ladder open up and the angels coming and descending and ascending. But Jacob, after all that, says to God, Lord, if you bless me and if you cause me to come back here safely, back to my parents, I will give you a tenth of everything that I have. And they even say, I'll serve you. But later on, Jacob's heart began to change. And we know Jacob became more of a spiritual-minded person later on. But it took a while. And that's how we come to God. But let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Listen to that. The world through wisdom, or what you would might call the world's wisdom. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the what? The wisdom of God. So the things that the world thinks foolish, God calls what? Wise. And so this is the introduction of what we come to understand as God's wisdom. So going forward now, we see the idea of wisdom being introduced right from the beginning of creation. Let's go to Genesis 3. And we know what that story is all about, right? Genesis 3 is Adam and Eve living a life of luxury, peace, joy, happiness, healing. They didn't have no sickness, no disease, probably didn't even have bad breath. They were getting along fine. They didn't argue. Didn't even have any disputes. No kids at that time. But we see the serpent comes and tempts Eve. And one of the things that he uses to tempt her is, let's go to verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat of the of it, eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one what? Uh-oh. She's trying to find wisdom separate from God. So you see, this is not a new thing that the enemy has been trying to do. He used this plan from the beginning. Wise, be wise. You don't need God to be wise. You don't need God to be smart. You don't need God to know things. You can know these things on your own. And that's what the world is still answering that call. And when they hear that, say, yeah, I don't need God. I'm an intelligent human being. I have a high IQ. And, you know, we all go through that when we want to do something. We always want to pat ourselves on the back. I'm this, I'm that, I'm all this and all that. And a little bit more, I can do it. I can handle it. And that's how the devil deceives you. He puffs you up, lifts you up in your own understanding. So right away, the devil's trying to show us you don't need God to be wise. But then the Bible says that the wisdom of men is what? Foolishness. So they're not really being wise. They're being foolish because they won't take instruction. You ever work with somebody and you give them an instruction and they just refuse to do it? And you try to figure out, did you know how to do this before we started talking? I mean, I want to know, because something seems to be not working here. Because I told you how to do it and you ignored what I said. So you must have some knowledge that I may not be aware of. And they don't. But they continue to not follow your instructions. It's just like trying to, you know, how remember those days we used to put together, back in the old days, I ain't going to say nothing about nobody's age, but when we were older, we used to have to put together the toys, right? On Christmas Day. Oh, man, was that a torture. Well, the good thing about, no, you can pay people to do it now. You can say, you can buy the bike, and for $10, they'll put it together. Oh, yeah, $10, we're paying that extra $10. Because we used to be up all night long putting stuff together. But back then, they had better instructions. I'm convinced they did. Because now you get these instructions, and most of them are just pictures. Because most everything comes from China, so not much is in English. So, and sometimes you're just glad to have a nice, good picture, but sometimes the pictures are bad. So you just have to guess. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the instructions are no help because you can't understand the instructions. But see, that's not with the way God is. God makes it very clean and very simple. The Bible says that even a child won't err in it. But the problem is, we're all smarter than children. What's that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Yeah. Well, it depends on what it is. Some think kids can handle the computers better than us, but please don't give them any car keys. Please don't give them any mechanized machines. They might be able to upload something, but don't send them to the grocery store. They might not come back. So yeah, there are points where kids are more adept than we are, but it's not on a wide scale. So we see that God shows us that there is a distinction between good wisdom and bad wisdom. So the thing that we see then, James said, And I'm going to change the verse, James 1:5, a little bit, so please bear with me, and I'm not going to be anything blasphemous, so don't worry about that. But we all know that James 1:5 says what? Yeah. If any person lacks wisdom, if any man lacks any of you, and they've kind of generic made it generic, lacks wisdom, I'm going to change that and say, since all of you lack wisdom. And wouldn't that be a better description? All of us lack wisdom. We don't know anything about God. So let's stop acting like we do and just ask God. So from now on, when you see this passage, don't just say, if any. No, since all. All of us lack wisdom. We don't know anything when it comes to the things of God. So it says, since all of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. So don't be afraid to ask when you're not sure about the answer. I used to tell Annis when I, you know, sometimes I used to get, you know, short with her. She'd ask me a question and I get short with her. And then I said, but I told her, but ask me anyway. Because then I'll come around and I won't be short. And so sometimes she would ask and sometimes she wouldn't. But then when she would ask and I get short, she said, well, you told me to ask. And I said, yep, I sure did. So what do you need, babe? Because I don't say this to brag. I've read a lot of stuff, so I know a lot of stuff. Some stuff I may magnify my knowledge a little bit, which means I may puff it up a little bit more than it is. But for the most part, I can help you understand a lot of stuff because I went to school forever, it seemed like. And I took so many classes. When I graduated from college, I had over 100 credits over what I was required to have. It wasn't because I was smart, because I messed up. I took classes I shouldn't have taken, and I had to start all over and go back and do it all over again. So when it was all said and done, I had so many credits, I should have had 3 degrees. But I only had one because I didn't take the right requirements. So I've been exposed to a lot of book knowledge. And so I can answer a lot of book knowledge questions. But that doesn't make me wise. It just makes me full of information. The second thing with information is, what do you do with it? Because some information I don't want anymore because it's just garbage. But I know it. So I was like, I got to forget that. That's information I don't even want. But the scripture tells us to ask God. If anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. And all of us are in that position. I'm in a position now that I've been praying about, God, help me to know what to do about this situation. Because it could, you know, cost money. It ain't going to cost me money. I've already made that decision. I ain't paying nothing. So it might cost somebody else money, but it ain't going to cost me no money. I'm just not making up the difference. But I still need wisdom. And I've been asking God, and I came to a conclusion yesterday that, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And we'll just see what happens. But I've been praying about it ever since it happened. And that's what he means. When you're not sure about what to do, ask God. And be patient, and he will direct you. He's not going to leave you hanging. The key, the Bible says, and this is one of Annas's many memory verses, he says, it's not that God can't hear us. It says, the Bible says, his ear is not heavy that he can't hear, nor his arm short that he can't save. He says, but it's your iniquities that separate us from God, so that we can't hear him. So when you ask God for something, make sure that your pipelines are clean. You know, no more static in your cell phone. God, I can't hear you. I can't hear what you're saying. Make sure you get the stuff out of the way so that you can hear.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
So when you come and pray, I do this as a habit. Lord, wash me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Some things may I've said to my wife I shouldn't have said, or somebody, whatever it is, Lord, forgive me so that I can hear from you. Because I don't want to be praying, because I pray, I don't say these things to brag. I pray, it takes me about an hour and a half to pray and read the Bible every morning. So if I have to be somewhere at 7, guess what? I have to get up at 5:30. When I used to go to work at 6, I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. I hated that. That's how I got a new job. I didn't like that. And I didn't have to be there at 6, but I wanted to come home at 3, so I got up early. But I don't want to be reading and praying for all that time and can't hear nothing. What's the purpose? What have I just done other than lose sleep? So I make sure that God and I don't have a cluttered pipeline. Lord, forgive me for whatever I may have said or done. And if he needs to tell me about something specific that I need to go and say, okay, you need to go and say this, I may wrestle with it, but sooner or later, if I want the pipeline clear, I've got to own it and go and deal with it. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. And that's the thing about prayer. It's already hard enough to discipline ourselves to pray. Amen? It makes it even worse if you're going to just pretend as if you're praying and you're not really hearing from God the way you need to hear from God. So I've made up my mind that if God tells me that I need to do something, no matter how much it may hurt me, and it's not going to hurt me physically because nobody's going to start beating me with a chain or a whip or something. It's just my ego and pride that's supposed to be dead anyway. So let's not revive it and say, oh, Lord, I need to say I'm sorry to my kids. I used to have to say sorry to my kids. Most dads don't do stuff like that. My dad sure didn't. He's like, I'm right, boy, and I'm right even if I'm wrong. I'm right, But if I was wrong, I would say, hey, look, guys, I'm sorry. I missed that. I messed up. Forgive me for that. So we want to make sure the pipeline is clean so that when we pray for wisdom, we receive the answers that we need from God. Amen? And so we go on to see that throughout the Old Testament, God implants wisdom in people. We know the story of Joseph. Joseph was a man. Now, Joseph, although he was a normal teenager, I mean, he had a dream and a vision, and he didn't want to tell everybody. And there's nothing wrong with that, but he forgot that his brothers didn't really care for him. He forgot about that part. And, we always got, what do they call that, sibling rivalries, right? I mean, first of all, Jacob's family was a mess, because he had 4 wives and 13 kids from 4 different women. So by itself, that's trouble. Huh? I mean, come on, that's trouble. And it's because you got the wives competing. Rachel was the most loved. Leah was the one that was having all the children. And so they were always fighting over who should Jacob should be with. And then they bring in their maids, and I don't hear much about what happened. All they know is they're just having kids, and they're in a kid's arm race. You know, I'm going to have more kids than you. I can't have kids, but let's give me somebody else in here to have here. We all have more kids than, I mean, come on, man. That's a mess. So within that mess, you have the favored wife who ends up finally having children. And guess who's the favorite children? Who are the favorite children of Jacob? Joseph and Benjamin, who are Rachel's children. And you think the brothers didn't know that? I mean, Reuben was the oldest. He should have been the favorite, but he wasn't. So there's all sorts of problems. So God was revealing Joseph his destiny, but he didn't show any wisdom about sharing it. And that's one thing we have to learn. When God shows us a big vision, because you think about what Joseph was shown, that was a huge vision. That not only would his brothers and sisters, but his mother and father would bow down to him, which tells us that he was going to be in a position of authority. That was a big vision. That was the first type of vision like that that God revealed to anybody. Amen? And so when you share that you're going to be the ruler over your father's household, that's not going to sit well with all your older brothers. Because they're thinking that, no, I'm going to rule. So the Bible says that after Joseph learned his lesson, he goes into Potiphar's house and shows himself to be wise. He's tempted by the wife of Potiphar. He doesn't fall into that temptation, but he suffers the consequences. And then he's in prison, and then he gets exposed to the two guys who have the dream. And now God shows him how to apply wisdom, or God gives him wisdom to do what? What is Joseph's gift? To interpret dreams. That doesn't come from Joseph. And he says it. Isn't the interpretation of dreams from God? So Joseph understands his source for insight. He doesn't claim that. And God blesses him because of that. He then becomes what he dreamed he would become. And that is the ruler. He probably got more than he ever imagined. Because he wasn't ever thinking he was going to Egypt. So Joseph was blessed beyond his own imagination. Or his own vision, if you will. But this shows us that God gives wisdom. And that wisdom can set you up higher than you could ever imagine. But you have to recognize where it comes from. If Joseph said, oh yeah, man, I've been interpreting dreams for so long. Just give it to me, man. Give it to me. I got it. Just tell me about it. Oh yeah. I heard that one. Yeah. Oh yeah. I got it. Yeah, sure. Yeah, oh yeah, I got it. Oh, yeah. That would have been him trying to do it. But he recognized that I don't see these things because I'm so smart. God gives the interpretation of dreams. And then he gets put into another place where he interprets Pharaoh's dream. Nobody else in the kingdom can interpret Pharaoh's dream. And what does Joseph say the first thing to Pharaoh? Does not God give the interpretation of dreams? So he gives God the glory. And the more you give God glory, the more he gives to you. Amen? And I think that's what Michael's word was about worship. And let's remember, worship is not just music, praise, and adoration. So many people can, as you guys love to say, go in on worship like that. But they don't go in like worship in Joseph's way. Yeah. That's worship, to acknowledge that I am nothing, but He is everything. That's worship. And there's no song being played. That's honoring. Worship is just honoring God in everything you do. The Bible says, we all know this, Proverbs 3:5, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. That's worship. That's what we really need people to do. We don't need a praise service. We need people to worship in spirit and in truth. See, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and I'm not really getting sidetracked because this is all about wisdom. He said, there comes a day when you're not going to worship me here or there, but you're going to have to worship me in a way that you don't even understand yet. And that is in spirit and truth. And He's not talking about a song. He's talking about your whole life has to represent spirit and truth. Everything you do is spiritual and based on truth. That's what He's trying to get. And he's talking to an unlearned woman. But she got it faster than the Pharisees. A woman who's living with a man that's not her husband, been married 5 times, ashamed to go up to the well with everybody else. That's why she was by herself. But she got it when He told her these things. Amen? So wisdom comes from God. I love the story when after Moses goes up to the mountain, gets the instructions on how to build the temple. And then God says, and I put my wisdom in the hearts of two so that they can build everything I told you to build. I gave them wisdom to be able to build the way I instructed you to build. Aholiab, and what was the other guy's name? You probably don't know. I used to memorize those two guys' names. Because I found that fascinating that God gave them wisdom to do what we would consider a natural job, which was cut stones. You know, they had to cut diamonds. They had to cut everything. They had to put gold plate, everything. They had to design the ark. They had to design the curtains. Everything that went into the temple, these two had to design. And God said He gave them that wisdom. And guess what? These are two that died in the wilderness. They didn't make it. So, see, wisdom by itself is not enough. You still need God. And that's the problem with so many people in the Bible that get wisdom, but they sometimes don't make it. We'll see some of those in a minute. So let me give you 4 things, and then we're going to close because I don't want to preach long today, since most of y'all coming back. The first thing we see is that true wisdom does not come as a result of human efforts. It's not just studying. It's revelation. True wisdom supersedes our own ability. When you start to get into the wisdom of God, think of Daniel. I mean, Joseph was a great dream interpreter, but Daniel took it to a whole nother level. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't even remember his dream, and he was asking folks to interpret it. Now, you tell me, how am I going to do that? Even all his people, wise men, said, well, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. He said, I can't remember it. And they said, well, ain't nobody on the planet can do that, king. He said, oh, no, you're just trying to stall. And if you don't tell me what the dream said, I'm going to kill everybody. So Daniel fasts and prays, and God tells not only how to interpret the dream, but he tells him what the dream was. I mean, you talk about a new level. That is, my friend, that is an example of wisdom that is not man-made, but that's only God knows that. Because God is the only one that knows the hearts of people. Amen? I mean, that I'm telling you, that's another level of dream interpretation. You got to first know what the dream is and then tell him what it means. I'm telling you, Daniel was a man that was special. But he wasn't any more special than you and I. But what Daniel did do, he understood that his source for understanding comes from God. And he never swayed or never was moved from that position. Everything he did, he knew it came from God and not his own ability. True wisdom comes as a result of an encounter with God. True wisdom is a benefit we receive from being with God. And then finally, there is human wisdom and there is heavenly wisdom. Let me read James 3, 13 and 17, and then we'll close. James is, you know, the five chapters of the book of James is a powerful book. But he says this, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil work, every evil thing are there. So notice he says, so if your wisdom is based on something what you're seeking for yourself, then, and also based on envy, he said that's demonic wisdom. That's not true wisdom. And he goes on to define true wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. So wisdom doesn't puff you up. Being wise, you're not, you know, so everybody, you know, stand up when I come in the room. Because the wise one is here. Oh, wise one has entered the building. No, that's not a real wise person according to what the scripture says. He says, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits. Well, we know what good fruits are, right? The fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience. Come on, help me out here. Kindness, gentleness. What? Meekness, self-control. Without partiality, meaning that you don't show favoritism. Without hypocrisy. And this is the difference between good heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. So there is a difference between the wisdom of people and the wisdom of God. And we are, as I said, have access. We are by potential the wisest people that ever walked the face of the earth because we have access to the wisest creator, or the only creator that the world has ever known. We have access to God that makes us wise. Amen? But we have to what? Take advantage of it. It's a terrible thing. You know, one of the things I always find this humorous. People who want to talk about the law that are not lawyers. And then they want to tell me what the law says or should be or is. And I'm thinking to myself, they have no idea what they're talking about. But they're not willing to ask me that, is this right? They just want to tell me. I said, oh, well, That's really not right, but if, you know, you can believe what you want to believe. That's why I tell them if they don't want to ask me, well, no, that's not right. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. You're not really in the situation, so you're just hypothesizing anyway. But it's a terrible thing for somebody who knows stuff, but they refuse to ask them something because they want to act as if they know. You guys know people like that? I used to be like that. Come across as if I knew, but I really wasn't sure. I thought I may have an idea, but I know you're trying to say I need to close. But I am closing, so you see I closed the book. So let's stand. So wisdom is so important. And it will get you to a level far beyond where you could ever imagine. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for the fact that wisdom is our, we have access to the wisdom that comes from you. Your ways are higher than ours, and your thoughts are higher than ours. So, Lord, we want to tap into your thoughts and your ways. And we want to be people that follow your thoughts and your ways. So, Lord, help us to renew our minds so that we can come up a little higher to see how you think and to see where you're taking us. And give us the wisdom that James said we should ask for. In every circumstance and every situation we face, we pray for you to give us wisdom so that we can be people of wisdom and understanding. We ask that you would bless this time as we end tonight. End today, and then we'll be back tonight. We pray for your spirit to just continue to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.